Welcome to the Denim and Pearls Podcast, business casual conversation laced with pearls of wisdom. Casual, authentic, unscripted dialogue about life, work, and entrepreneurship with the perfect blend of laughter and seriousness. Pull up a chair, kick back, and lean in as we welcome your hosts, Michelle Mross and Brian Swanson.
Hello, welcome to Denim and Pearls.
Wait a minute, you didn't say what you normally say.
My name is Michelle Mross.
And I'm Brian Swanson.
We're at Denim and Pearls, we're business casual.
With pearls of wisdom.
From the porch.
But you would never know it.
Did you catch what I was doing right before we
don't
went live?
Don't tell nobody. They'll laugh about it. No M&M's when I moved on to potato chips.
Didn't have lunch today. I'm so hungry. That happened to be handy.
So, did we say it already? Business casual?
Mm-hmm. But we did say what our title was.
Oh, what is our title? Oh, Mind Maze. I bet I know where it's at.
Not maze as in corn. Maze as in a mind maze.
It's spelled differently, isn't it? Isn't it an M-A-I-S-E or something like that?
Yeah, but when you're listening, you hear maze, you're like, why are they talking about corn? No, we're talking about the maze of life, the intricacies of just life in general. And I told Brian, I don't really want to talk about anything in specific. I want to talk about life in general. He goes, so a maze. Not corn.
Well, I originally started off with labyrinth because that was the word I learned the other day.
But labyrinth, it's difficult to say when you're on air. You say, welcome to the labyrinth.
See, it was so hard.
It wasn't. Good thing I'm a narrator.
I like history. I don't know if you like the History Channel or not. Outside of aliens.
I love ancient aliens.
But I like watching the ruins that they find and when they dig through everything and
like at
whatever.
Ancient aliens.
But the show I was watching yesterday was about Babylon.
Ooh.
In Babylon, they refer to, if you look at it from the air, the portions of it that are showing actually look like a maze, but they use the word labyrinth.
Well, because labyrinth is fancy for maze. It's just like when people say, I'd like to utilize that. I do. You mean you want to use it? No, we're going to utilize it. I do. Yeah, use. What's the difference between use and utilize? One's a fancier word of saying use.
It kind of is.
It is. Just like, I'd like to walk the labyrinth. No, it's maze.
Yeah, but you could utilize the labyrinth too.
You can utilize the labyrinth is different.
We put the two together. Well, I also think of, when I think of the labyrinth and I think of the maze, I think of the one outside of, Stanley Hotel? Mm-hmm.
The movie, The Shining.
The Shining, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's not really there on the real Stanley Hotel. It's spelled a little hedged right now. But think about, when I think labyrinth, I think The Shining.
Well, wasn't there
the movie, The Shining. In the movie, The Shining, the hedges, they're huge.
Right.
When you go to the actual Stanley Hotel.
They don't exist.
No, they planted one.
Did they really?
Yeah. But right now they're probably about my knee height, I think. They're really low.
See, I thought they were getting away from, and I could be wrong. Maybe I misread the marketing for it, but I thought they were getting away from that perspective or that, being related to the book.
No, I don't think so. Because I was there 2 years ago. I mean, right before COVID, and they had the maze growing and. Well, unless something's changed since COVID, then maybe.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Have you ever been to the Stanley Hotel in Colorado?
Once.
Really?
I didn't go inside, though.
Okay.
We drove past.
I spent 3 nights there.
In the haunted room?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Did you stay in the haunted room?
Mm-hmm.
They don't let you do that, do they?
Huh?
They don't let you stay in the haunted room, do they? Can you actually rent out the haunted room?
Yeah, the room from the movie. You can rent it. I didn't stay in that one. I stayed down the hall.
Oh, well, there you go.
No, someone else had it. And they let us look in the room. But the thing is it's just a room.
Did you meet the twins?
No, but I met someone else. I never told you this story?
I don't think you did.
Oh, my gosh. Stanley Hotel. That thing. We went through their haunted tour. And I'm like, Oh, yeah. Well, that night.
Just like any other haunted tour, honestly.
Yeah, it was like, oh, yeah, they could fake that. Oh, yeah, they could fake that. Well, I'm taking pictures in the bar of my husband, and I'm taking pictures through the reflection of the bar that, what's the main character?
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson is sitting at the bar talking to the ghost bartender.
Right.
I'm taking pictures of my husband in that mirror because that's really there. That's really
right,
there.
Right.
And I'm taking pictures of my husband. And we're the only ones in the room. And we thought nothing happened on that tour. No big deal. Well, we get to our room and I send the pictures to the kids. And my son writes back, "Who's the old man?" And I said, "There's no old man in that picture." So I'm looking on my phone and there's no old man. And he's like, "On my computer, there's an old man." And I went, So I take my picture and I, you know, on your iPhone, you can spread it out and you can actually see it. It expands.
Right.
There's a man standing next to my husband who you can see through. I have to show you that picture.
Have you posted this?
I gave it to the Stanley.
Yeah.
I posted it somewhere on Facebook a long time ago.
You should post it again. Now that you've talked about it.
Yeah, because it's so freaking creepy. Because there is an old man and he's definitely in like old garb, but about chest level, he disappears. And you can see right through him. You can see the mirror behind him. Nice. So I gave it to the Stanley Hotel because that was creepy as all get out.
I wonder if it made out on any of the, you know, the ghost story shows.
I watched for it. I even watched Ghost Hunters International or whatever, right. One of those shows. Because they were at the Stanley. Nope, they didn't show my picture.
Aw.
I know, I was so bummed out. But anyways, it was really cool.
They probably would have had to call you to get a permission from Michael to use it.
Oh, yeah, because his face is in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, it was a really cool thing to happen, and not everyone has experiences like that.
Well, the only thing I've ever had is along those lines is nothing with shadow figures or anything, but orbs.
My wife
and I have taken lots of pictures that have orbs in them, and then she has an aunt that likes to, she studies that stuff. So she has this real big fixation with orbs. And then she comes back and she says, "Yeah, all but that one is an orb." Or, you know, everything around it is nothing, but that one right there. And we've got a picture with Cassie after my dad passed away. So back in 07, and I can't remember where we were. Cassie was somewhere, I think like the mall or something. And she took a picture with her friends in that. And there's this big orb that's right there with her. And her second aunt or whatever says that it was actually my dad watching over her. I'm like, that's cool and creepy all at the same time.
Well, I'm telling you that old man in that picture was, because he, when you look at the regular picture, he's not there. You have to blow it up and he's standing right here.
Wow.
Yeah, it's creepy as all get out. Anyways, if I find the picture, I'll post it in here. But it's been a while and I think I've changed two computers. So,
what's going to happen is now everybody's going to sit there and go through your all your pictures. So if you want to find out the scary man in the picture at the Stanley Hotel, scroll through the shelves.
Way back. I mean, you got to go back like 4 or 5 years. 4 years. It was a while back.
If that's the case, they'll see your transition.
Oh yeah, then you'll see my change. But I'm telling you, it was an incredible experience because we didn't know it happened.
Well, of course not.
It was so cool, and I always tease on those ghost movie ghost shows when they do, "We caught it on AVP," and I think, well, we're watching it on TV, so aren't we listening through the TV and the monitors and all that? Do you ever notice that?
No.
Well, they say, well, we're listening at the same time. We're watching through a TV screen, right? Mm-hmm. Through a recording.
Right.
And they say, well, we recorded all night and we're going to check the recording to find out what's on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, we're with them watching through the TV. Shouldn't we have the same experience through the TV? Right?
Not necessarily.
It's kind of a recording. I mean, it's a recording.
Right. But
I'm asking the sound guy this, is that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm looking at the technicals of it. You know, besides that, it wouldn't be so dramatic if it did. It would be more dramatic, I guess. But they have to edit it and they have to do all this and go, oh yeah, look at this. This is what we see. In fact, it was kind of funny because it's kind of like I was sitting outside on karaoke night the other night, and we were sitting outside and there's this lady there and she says, "You see the faces in the clouds?" And usually when somebody says that, you can recognize it, right?
Like a bunny.
And she admittedly said that she was drunk at one point.
Oh.
And I'm looking up at the clouds going, trying to, you know, agree with her. And I'm like, yeah, I can't read those plots. I'm sorry.
As a little girl, okay, I did not understand when they would say, "Do you see the man on the moon?" And I would look and do, "I don't see a man on the moon." And they do, "You can see the man on the moon." I do, I don't see a man on the moon. It was the craters on the moon that show a face. Right. If you look at it well enough. And I'm like, I was always looking for a man, man on the moon. And I'm like, so I'd have the binoculars to, I still don't see the man on the moon. And it wasn't until I, you know, I'm talking, I'm like 5 years old looking for the man on the moon. And when I got to school and found out it's the craters on the moon. Now, it wasn't until later in life, I want to think middle school, that I never knew that the moon, we only see one side of the moon. So when they talk about the dark side of the moon, it's a side we never see.
That's
the
just way, Pink Floyd.
The way it rotates, it's always showing us the same side. Uh-huh. And I heard, you know, dark side of the moon. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, it's the dark side and it changes. No, it always shows us the same side. So
I'm going to have to look up your theory on that one. I don't think
it is true. The moon, you only see the same side of the moon. The way it rotates around the world, around us, with us, we only see the same side. I did not know that.
I didn't know you were an astronomer either.
You know how I learned that? Ancient aliens.
Do you fall asleep or do you actually sit there and watch them?
I watch it until I give up.
Because I watch them and I fall asleep within the first 10 minutes.
So here's
what I like it.
Here's what's funny about this, okay? We are really just talking about whatever. We're on a maze of life. We're just talking.
Mind maze.
Mind today. Maze. The reason why this is so funny is I pride myself on not watching TV. But when I watch TV, it's ancient aliens. So if anyone from Ancient Aliens has a connection,
wait a minute. You can't say that wholeheartedly because you also watch B-rated flicks.
No, those are movies.
That's what I said, B-rated flicks.
Yeah, I'll watch movies, but right. I don't watch TV.
Oh. So like TV shows.
Mm-hmm. I watched The Boys because everyone told me I needed to watch The Boys. And it was like, okay.
Not a fan.
It was horrific. But I watched it because Dean Winchester is one of the new boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy from Dean, the guy who plays Dean Winchester.
Yeah.
In Supernatural.
Yeah.
When I used to watch TV, I used to watch Supernatural. I'm a one show kind of person. So when I watched TV, it was only Supernatural.
Yeah, but my gosh, you know, you could not do a marathon on Supernatural. You know how you do a binge weekend?
Oh, no, there's too many of them.
There's too many shows. I didn't realize there was that many. It's what, 15 seasons?
Well, and actually the reason I started watching Supernatural is I had so many surgeries in a row.
And you needed an explanation?
I couldn't move. I couldn't go anywhere. So I just sat there and watched TV. And the only thing that was always on when I was willing to watch TV was 10 o'clock, Supernatural. And I got hooked on it.
Well, I think Julie started it. The wife started it. It was a while back, but it was like every time I turned on the TV or every time she turned something on, it was always Supernatural. And this lasted like a month and a half. I'm like, how many episodes are in this daggone thing?
Yeah, my sister got me hooked on it. So that's what happened. But now,
you know, the sad part is I can't even say, and we digress. Let's get back to our topic.
We
don't have a topic to do.
Okay, so now you know what we do on the porch. We usually just talk about whatever just pops up in our minds, and that's what's happening today.
Now I just need a beer.
It's a clear beer without the hops, without the
hops of barley or the alcohol.
It's a beer. We really should have ate lunch before we came on.
I did. I had a handful of potato chips. Cheddar at that. So I also got my dairy in.
See, here's the thing. Brian has succumbed to my junk food table.
Yeah, but it needs improved. It's been kind of going dwindling down.
Because I haven't been home.
I have to get Michael on this one.
Michael, supply that.
Michael, we need healthy snacks and we need bad snacks. Mostly bad snacks.
He's got the mangoes, the mango, dried mangoes up there. And the dried peaches. I offered them, but you were too busy in the cheddar chips.
Into the cheddar cheese chips.
What was I going to say?
I don't know, but we at least need to tell
people. Oh, we never told them about our sponsors.
We didn't say that. We didn't say anything.
Oh, go back to the sponsors. Thank you so much for our sponsors for bearing with us today. iBuild SEO, you will hear about them in mid-roll. A2 Promos, the number 2 promos.com is all your swag
needs. It's A-squared technically.
I know, but A2, I'm reading their website. Mm-hmm. The number 2 promos.com. And then Ink182.
You do the math, it's totally wrong.
Ink182.com is all of your embroidery and screen printing needs on anything you can think of. And then we have embellishedbutterfly.com, who does all the blingy things and the cuffs and all that. And then we have europeanheels.com/discount/Marcel. And that's where we get all of my cork heels that I love to wear.
So let's just go right straight to the commercial. We're at the 15-minute mark.
All right. You'll learn more about iBuild SEO.
Contractors, do you need better cash flow, quality leads, better projects? Rise above your competition by proving you do better work. Make a solid first impression with strong reviews. Establish your credibility by showcasing your skills. Extend your reach so you can land better jobs with better clients. iBuild SEO will set you up for success with your search engine optimization, website development, social media marketing, content marketing, reputation management, review request system, with the power of more, utilizing the Construction Contractors Digital Dominance Method. Book your time to speak with us today at iBuildSEO.com and click on the Get Started Now button.
Thank you for joining us on the porch. We share the nuances and lessons we've garnered from throughout our combined 40 years of life experiences. Talk from the Porch is always serious, but full of laughter, and we're glad you're here with us. Like, share with a friend, and please subscribe to our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. And remember, join the conversation every Friday at noon Mountain Time. We'll see you on the porch. Welcome back to Denim and Pearls. My name is Michelle Maras.
And I'm Brian Swanson.
And we are Business Casual.
With pearls of wisdom.
Not so much wisdom today, just kind of
I think it's some casual. Good wisdom, actually. It tells that we learn things.
We learn from everything.
We're constantly learning on something.
Well, and the other thing.
There's our lesson for the day. So now what's our next topic?
Well, the thing is with business, you need to learn to laugh. You need to learn to laugh at the silly things and have normal conversations. Because would you have ever known that I would be someone who watched Ancient Aliens?
Well, it's like I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday, the day before. Either way, I'm talking to him, and he is definitely not he's definitely not what I thought. He is a major geek.
Yeah.
Nerd in the background. He's just like crazy. He's got all this stuff that he puts on and buys posters and sells them and Pokemon. And I mean, the dude's in everything pop culture, and I had no idea.
Ooh.
What?
What's the funniest thing you've ever seen happen in real life? We got these.
We had this conversation earlier, and you know, I really honestly, I can't think of one. The funniest thing I've ever seen in.
I will share with you what the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, maybe you'll spark something.
Cow tipping.
I have nothing to relate.
I did my junior and senior year in Omaha, well, in Bellevue, Nebraska, at Bellevue West, Bellevue, Bellevue West. Anyways.
It was not the insane asylum.
No.
But.
Because that one, I think they spell it differently. Anyways.
IEW.
Yes. We went out cow tipping one night, and cows apparently fall asleep standing up sometimes, and they're out in the field, and you can just walk in, you can push them, and they just fall over.
Now, I found something that I can relate to this.
Okay, because that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I didn't know that was real.
Is the one kid who peed on the electric fence.
That's not funny. That's horrible.
Oh, it's funny.
Oh, no. Is he okay?
Yeah. He had to stand still for a couple seconds, buddy. It's funny.
It's tragic.
Well, how's that old saying go?
It's all fun and games
till someone loses an eye.
Yeah, it's fun and games till someone pees on an electric fence.
But it's all fun and games till someone loses an eye, right? And then when they do, it's hilarious.
I am not part of this conversation. Thank you very much. Okay, so what's the silliest thing you've ever done?
The silliest thing I have ever done. Oh my goodness, it's so hard.
You've done so many silly things.
Oh, I know what we were talking. I was referring to the time that during one of my cousin's graduations, and I probably shouldn't say this because, you know, I still have relatives that watch this. I think she actually knows the story.
Okay, so we have to preface it. The views and opinions that are being expressed on this show are not to be repeated. We are not suggesting these are things to do that are stupid. They are things not to do because they are.
But now I will also have to preface of my own thing. we all remember things differently. Mm-hmm. And we tell our stories differently as we recall them.
Yeah,
so if I say this wrong and there's another story to it, another side of this story, then I'm more than willing to listen to opening suggestions of those who experienced this. And you know who I'm talking about out there.
Well, but I not remember, all of you, just a few of you.
There's just one. Actually, two. Okay. I don't know if the other one listens. Okay. But I recall at my cousin's graduation, and I was a little underage, and I recall sneaking a beer in, a red Solo cup, and mom was inside the house. And of course, I got a little tipsy. I climbed up in the tree. And when I climbed up in the tree, I ended up falling out of the tree into the cattle bin or whatever it was that makes a lot of noise, you know, empty beer cans. I didn't get hurt.
There's but that many I think empty cans?
It was a party.
Oh, okay. I was like,
but I recall it that way. And then I remember all the turmoil that went on and this aunt and uncle and cousin and everybody, mom come running out the door. What's going on? Oh, you just tripped. This is the way I remember the story. And I'm going, hopefully I don't get caught.
Well, mine's not funny, I don't think, but it is pretty silly what I did.
I call it funny because that's the only way I can remember. I mean, no, who gets funny. Drunk and falls out of a tree into a barrel of...
Well, who gets drunk of a one beer and falls into a barrel of beer? I was like 16. I grew up in the Philippines.
This is way before drinking age moved.
In the Philippines, you can drink as soon as you can reach the bar.
Actually, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, because I was drinking as a kid. Pretty much not a good thing. Like we said, these views and opinions stated on the show, but in the Philippines, and we have to remember we're in our 50s. So it was a way, way back when.
You can't tell them that.
Why?
Because I look 35.
Well, I look 35.
Well, yeah. So we don't want to give away.
And when I look, when I'm telling you I'm 80, then you think, wow, she looks really good for 80. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look great for 80. Mm-hmm. Anyways, at 35, I look kind of rough. So, my silliest thing I've ever done.
You say that you look 35.
Anyways, the silliest thing I ever did is how many of you have ever snuck out to go see your boyfriend or your girlfriend?
Mm-mm, never did it.
Never did it?
Nope. Because I knew I'd get caught. Anyway.
My room was on the second floor and I had a roof right above, right under my window. So I was living in the Philippines and I got out my window. I moved the air conditioner out. I think there was a window air conditioner out. And then I climbed out the window, closed the window. And then I climbed down the rooftop and there was a coconut tree at the end of the roof. And coconut trees are very, very tall. Well, I held on to the bark and I couldn't reach it. So there was part of the branch sticking out. So I grabbed the branch thinking I could swing to the bark. And the branch snapped.
You watched too much TV when you were a kid.
The branch snapped. So one hand was here. I was reaching here and it went. And I fell like 20 feet. Hit my head on a brick on the bottom of the. Yeah, that's why I'm the way I'm in. I hit my head on a brick on the base of that thing. And when I left, the sun was just going down. When I woke up, it had to be like midnight. I was out all night.
I had one of those experiences, except for it was with old granddad.
But I never told anyone it happened. So mom, dad, brothers and sisters who have heard this, who now know where I disappeared to for an entire night. That was it. I was on the side of the house, unconscious.
You know, that's an interesting topic of sorts.
Yeah.
You just did something that I think is interesting. There are stories we have in our life that we never told our parents.
Oh, heck no.
And I mean, most of it, because we're still afraid of getting in trouble.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Put me on restriction?
I mean, honestly, I probably couldn't have told that story about the tree and the alcohol, presuming my parents that raised me were still around. Because the ones who raised me, that's why I specified that. Ruben, he just looks at you. I'm sure he's just shaking his head. Are you kidding me?
He said, I probably did it too.
But yeah, how many stories are out there? And then what's really funny is I look at it from looking at our own kids. Mm-hmm. Because like my daughter had, let's just call it an accident of sorts with one of our cars. And her story is the fact that she hit a big dip. Then her story has changed the fact that she hit a high railroad track.
Oh.
And I don't know the truth of it yet. And I'm waiting for that day when I find out exactly what happened. But I think back to myself of
what did you
how many that? Stories did I tell that I either got away with or didn't get away with, but I'm never going to admit to my parents.
Well, here's my thing. If they ever ask me directly, I can't lie. So I would tell them directly. If they said, Michelle, have you ever done anything incredibly stupid that risked your life? And I would do, yes. But if they said, Michelle, what'd you do yesterday? I do, none.
Well, actually, that was a topic I seen yesterday where these kids are learning things in school that you and I probably wouldn't agree with. We won't get into all of that kind of stuff because it's, you know, current event kind of things. Okay. But they're trying to teach different things in school now. And one of the guys, this doctor or whatever, says parents are not finding out what's being taught because when the kid comes home,
nothing.
The question is what did you learn today? Same they don't same explain old, same that old. This is what I learned.
Yeah, same old, same old.
But we've all been, I mean, I think that's been since the beginning of time and when we got sent to school, you know, you go learn something. Well, how was your day today? It was great. Playground was awesome. But you don't talk about what you actually learned. You don't talk about what the history was that you got taught that day. Unless, of course, you know,
now
there's some kids that are weird.
But my brother, I told us, I love, actually, in The Dose of Hope, there's a book called The Dose of Hope. I think I'm in volume 4 or 5. Anyway, I share a story about jumping a ditch. Mm-hmm. And it was published. And I sent books to my family. And my brother's like, we never told mom and dad that story. And what's crazy about it is I followed him to jump a ditch and I jumped a very large storm ditch. I think I shared this story in one of our other podcasts,
right.
But the family never knew about it. They didn't know that I was unconscious. They didn't know that I had a spike, a spoke through my leg. And so my mother's like,
you have a scar from that, by the way.
Yeah, I do. My mom's like, when did that happen? And all I was like, when you bought me that brand new purple bike. And she says, I don't remember a purple bike. And so I'm like, the sparkle banana seat bike and da, da, da. Oh, I remember that bike. And it's like, Troy rebuilt it. Oh, I said his name.
You're in trouble now.
My brother.
The more of the rest of the hour.
He fixed my bike so no one knew that I had mangled it. I mean, the things that we did as kids, we were close. I mean, my siblings were very, very close. So we would do things and share things. And my brother would always say, what did you do at school today? And I'd say, oh, not much. He'd just, well, what did you learn in math? Show me. And I would have to show him. And so he was like the dad figure because I told him everything that happened. Right. And he would sit there and he was off in college.
He would ask you the question. I mean, he mom would ask, and dad didn't never ask me a direct question.
Well, and that's why he was such a hero to me growing up, is that he's what I have in my head as a father figure. Him, mm-hmm. And my Uncle Sonny, is because he would sit me down and say, so what was your, who'd you meet today? And I'd say, oh, I was with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. He'd go, what'd you guys talk about? Well, this, this, and this. Well, what about this? And he would get in my face about what we talked about. Mm-hmm. So he always knew everything that was happening in my life because he would ask very specific questions. Mm-hmm. And so I look at him now as a dad of two very amazing children. And now they're all adult. They're adults. One just graduated from college. And I look at them and do, he was such a good dad for me as a big brother. What an amazing dad he is for his kids. And I think that's what I sought for me when I was getting married, was looking for someone who acted like my brother for the future. You know, it's kind of cool.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we always marry, you know, women marry their dads.
I married my brother.
But you married your brother instead. Mm-hmm. I find that intriguing.
I didn't want
but
to marry
he was
my dad.
Your father figure. Yeah, he just technically was your brother.
Yeah, I didn't want to marry my dad. My dad was wild. Which is funny because I'm a lot like him, so I don't know.
It's interesting how those kind of things all tie together. Mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to, you know, finding a spouse, whichever side it is, and what that resemblance is of your upbringing.
Yeah. I mean,
or the opposite. In some cases, a lot of times it's the opposite. Well, which is funny. I don't want this to happen.
Well, with me is I avoided my father because he was on stage. He was on the mic. He was always out late at night. He wasn't hanging out with us. Mm-hmm. He was, I am him. I could not have married someone like me because we would have clashed. I married a man who was very home-based, wanted to be with the family, likes to cook and likes to take care of things. I married my opposite, but my brother was my opposite. I am my father. I'm a stage person. My dad used to do a lot of the MWR shows overseas. Mm. So he was an entertainer.
Right.
And
well, that's another topic that eventually we will probably get into when I get done with my book and all those other kind of things is about my adoption. And the thing that I found that was interesting when it comes to that nature nurture question.
It's so cool.
It is so interesting. I mean, I'll give a little bit
of a little bit.
Just because of the fact that I was raised from, you know, 3 days old till now. And then I found my birth father. Well, after what, 30 years or something? I can't remember exactly the number.
34.
Yes, 30 something. But I had representations in my life of my father who raised me. Moral standards, ethics. Then when I found my birth mom and my birth dad, I found out, or seems to be anyway, that I had a lot of their qualities. And with, you know, with my birth dad, having qualities of leadership, being on boards, being somebody who's in a way entrepreneurial, and all these other kind of things, it's like, wow, I actually fit into a lot of these different categories. And I don't, sometimes we think, well, that's just what you see. Because that's what you wanted to see. You know, it's kind of like buying a white car. Next thing you know, everybody has a white car. Well, I don't think it is. I think that nature versus nurture, there's a lot to be said about nature.
There's a lot of blending going on.
There is, you know.
I mean, because I...
We got a little serious there.
We did get serious. But, I mean, I grew up saying, I'm nothing like my parents. I'm nothing like my parents. And now that I'm in my mid-50s, I am my parents. I'm a perfect split between the two of them.
Right.
I mean, and no matter how much I ran away from being that, there's parts of them in both of them that I see in me. And I'm like, whoa, that is crazy wild. And then growing up, I always thought I looked just like my dad. And now that I look back at my pictures of my mom, I'm like, holy crap, I'm my mom with my dad's eyes. It's weird.
Well, I got another one too that just kind of popped up in my head. Do you ever repeat any of the sayings that your mom and dad told you, mom and or dad said?
No.
Those little key phrases in life that they always told you. Like I would ask my mom, what color is this? She would say sky blue pink with purple polka dots.
Oh.
I would ask her, how much am I going to get paid for mowing the yard? $1.298. My mom had phrases. My dad had phrases too. But I find myself, and you don't really notice it until you actually say them because you forget about some of them. Yeah. But then you say things to the kids and it's the same phrases your mom and dad used on you. And then you go, I am my mom. I am my dad.
Well, actually, I don't have phrases from my parents. The only thing I got from my mother is I didn't know it was a swear word in the Philippines, I guess. But I would always say, Sus Maria Jose.
Somebody understood you because I didn't.
Jesus, Mary, Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
Sus Maria Jose.
Okay. Now that I translate it. Yeah.
Yes. And I always say that all the time. But the one I repeat a lot, and I actually put it in my TEDx, is my mother-in-law. Because she'd always say, Michelle, rut in a grave. And she'd walk past me. And she even said it to me, you know, when I was in high school, because she was my math teacher. And I was so methodical about things. I had to make sure checks, you know, checks and balances. And she would do, Michelle, rut in a grave. And she just walked past me. I'd be, what's that? And then after, when I married her son, you know, 10 years later, we're something in the kitchen. I'm like, well, I have to do this. And then this will happen and this. And then she says, Michelle, rut in a grave. I said, what does that mean?
Somebody explain it to me, please.
And she says, the differences between a rut and a grave are the dimensions. If you keep doing the same thing all the time, you're just building your grave. Step out of it. And she'd walked away again. I'm like, that makes no sense to me. And then not until after I had my car accident that I realized, oh my gosh, for 40-something years of my life, I was doing the exact same thing. And I was building my grave and wondering why I couldn't get out of that rut.
It's called insanity, too.
Yes, insanity. And why I didn't get out of what I wanted. what I wanted out of life because I never stopped doing the exact same thing. Keep doing the same thing, expecting different results is the definition of insanity.
Okay, you got off on serious on
it. So the quality, the Red in the Grave quote is by Ellen Glasgow. I said it in my TED Talk, so go watch the TED Talk.
You got off on a serious one. I was going to stick with things like my mother used to call me Margaret.
My father used to call me Moonface.
Yeah, well, the reason why my mother called me Margaret is if I complained about anything, she called me Margaret. Oh. So I thought the word Margaret basically meant that I was complaining.
So you were a Karen, but you were a Margaret.
Kinda. But it was always the thing about, you know, oh, mommy, my toe hurts kind of thing.
Okay, Margaret. Well, quick,
you know, oh, I'm sick today. I can't go to school. Okay, Margaret. But I didn't realize that she wasn't saying the word Margaret as a translation of
that's a family
complaining.
Member?
It was actually her stepmom who complained about everything, who went to the doctor all the time.
Oh, she's hypochondriac.
That's the word. She was a hypochondriac, but when mom said it to me, I related it as a true word, not a name. I thought Margaret, everybody knew what Margaret meant. In other words, quit being a complainer, but my mom would say quit being a Margaret.
Oh.
So, but I would translate it as quit being a complainer.
Now, one of the things I think my mother and my father, I think my father used to say it the most was, might be my older brother, one of the fans. Anyways, but whenever you fell or anything would happen, you do, ow, I got hurt. They would say, are you bleeding? And I'd look down and, no, then shut up. And so growing up, if I fell, if I got hurt, you know, with me in surgeries, I would tell the doctors, I'd go to the emergency room, you know, I never broke a bone, but I'd be like gashed up and they'd have me in the, oh, that's it. That's the example. I was on the merry-go-round. I cracked my head and I cracked right above my eyelid and it was just gushing. Okay. I cracked my skull and I got to the hospital. They brought me to the ER and they're all worried because there's all so much blood on me. And the doctor said, are you okay? And I said, am I bleeding? And he said, you're bleeding a lot, but we've got it under control. And I went, I'm dying. Because I've never been, if you're not bleeding, you're not hurt.
You're right.
And I was bleeding. So I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do because I had never bled anything out of me. So I'm like, I'm dying. I'm dying because there's blood on my hands. And the doctor's like, you're not dying. We've got this taken care of.
It's the way we translate things.
Yeah. If you're not bleeding, you're not dying. You're bleeding, you're dying. And then I watch MASH. Remember the TV show MASH?
Mm-hmm.
The early morning fog I see. And
you know what that song's about, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you? Do they?
Yeah, I do.
Are you going to share?
They can look
at it. Okay. Ernie, yeah. Anyways, Colonel Potter said something that changed my life. And this was, I think I might've been 10 at the time. And Colonel Potter, he's going through and he's showing the other doctors and the doctor's like, oh my gosh, this guy's screaming. Oh, this one's screaming. We need to help. And the Colonel Potter says, stop. Pay attention to only the quiet ones. And the doc says, what is, if they're screaming, they feel. If they're not screaming, they're in more pain than they think. They're in shock.
Right.
And I went, oh. So in my mind, my child mind, I went, if I feel pain, I'm okay. They can fix that. If I don't feel pain, if it's quiet, I need to watch it. It actually saved my life.
No, I'm not laughing at your story. I'm laughing at what I'm thinking and whether I could say it on.
Oh, okay. Well, let me keep talking.
Because it was about Colonel Potter, what Colonel Potter said.
Oh, I like to go swimming with bow-legged women and swim between their legs. Yes, I remember that song too.
But you know, that was only in one episode.
I know, but I never forgot it.
Remember it.
I never forgot it because it was so out of character for him. So,
was it really?
Yeah, he wouldn't do that normally.
I don't know, but
anyways, but that was the whole thing about that. My hair went crazy. Anyways.
We're running long.
I know we're going a little long. But when I was diagnosed with cancer, that's when it scared me because I didn't feel pain, but there was something wrong with me, scared the heck out of me. But when I had like broke tore my rotator cuff, I'm like, okay, they're going to fix it. Just cut me open, fix it. But I remembered Colonel Potter, no pain is bad. Pain is good. And I'm like, oh no.
That's taking it to a different level.
I know. I always get serious. I'm sorry.
We're talking the difference between war triage and
I know. But I was a 10-year-old and that's what I equated it to. So when you're thinking and talking and you're around young children, remember, they are interpreting whatever you're saying completely different than you are as an adult.
Exactly.
And as we say that, Brian says that we have gone very, very long.
I didn't say very, very. I didn't use that word twice.
Okay. I interpreted what he said differently.
I said we've gone long. I didn't say very, very long.
Our mind maze today has been all over the place. I hope you enjoyed our crazy show. It's been fun.
It's been fun.
I learned a lot about Brian today.
It's real. It's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun, right?
It's been real. It's been fun. I'm so glad we had this time together.
Okay, Carol.
So have a wonderful week, everybody. And remember, I've got Michael Shonen's glasses.
You know, I wonder if all the fingerprints are showing up on my
show.
Anyhow.
Yeah. Peace. See you next.